Hey, welcome everybody. Before I begin, speaking about Yom HaTzmaut can always be, especially in this country, very controversial. Before this past Yontif, so I invited someone to speak in my shul, and he said that Sfiras HaOmer is always the tekufa, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about until he continued, is the tekufa of Machlokas. Because everyone starts to begin, you know, Yom HaShoah, should you have Nechodesh Nisan, and Yom HaZikaron, and then Yom HaTzmaut, and Yom Yerushalayim. Truth is that there was also a very big debate about Lag BaOmer also in Chodesh Iyar. They say the Chassam Sofer didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael because he was afraid of the way Lag BaOmer was celebrated in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is, Sfiras HaOmer is that Kufa, as we know that Rabbi Akiva Talmidim died, Shlo Kibdu Zeh V'Zeh, they weren't mechaved each other. However, before I begin, I think it's important that everyone know where I stand. Before I begin, so we know what point I'm trying to make. I would just say that I think every Jew, I think, has an obligation to recognize the Machir Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Baruch Hashem, we can live in Eretz Yisrael. And even though, unfortunately, we know there are tragedies, and unfortunately there are still terrorists, and there are still people who are trying to destroy us and wipe us off the face of the map, we know that we live here with relative security. And it's important to go ahead and to give that Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim tells us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, for whatever reason, he didn't say Shira at the full Asam Chayrim. And if he had said Shira, he would have been Zohar to be the Melech HaMashiach. I think that one of the ideas we learn from that is not just to say Shira, but if you want to come to Tkufas Mashiach, you want to be the Mashiach, you want to bring the Mashiach, it's important to be Makar Tov for Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us. Therefore, we have an obligation to mark the day, and to use the day as a day of giving Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just heard on the radio, I think it was yesterday, there was a debate on one of the stations, and one of the people, one of the Rabbanim who was on the radio, took the stand to say that there's really nothing to be given Hakaras HaTov for Medinas Yisrael. I would just have to say that nothing is perfect. Right? Until Mashiach comes, nothing is perfect. It's true. However, I think if we compare the situation, what it is today, to what it was back in 1948, religiously, physically, economically, we're definitely in a much better spot than we were. And in 1948, as I heard from my father, I wasn't born yet, but he said there were very few Gedolim who did not speak about the greatness of Medinas Yisrael, and about Yom HaTzmaut. You know, if you look at some of the posters went up in the 1950s that were signed by Gedolim from across all camps, they spoke about the flowering of the Geula. And today, I think, we're in a better position. My uncle always pointed out, Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik pointed out, that if you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam Hilchas Chanukah discussing the miracles of Chanukah says that one of the miracles, as opposed to the Rambam, but the Rambam says, was that the Malchus was Chazar Yisrael, that the kingship, dominion, rulership over the land of Israel is returned to the Jews until the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yetrim Mesayim Shana, more than 200 years. And believe me, some of those kings were much worse than any of the prime ministers, any of the leaders that we had since Hakamas Medinas Yisrael. And therefore, there's no question that a person every day should be Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was just at a Beis Avol yesterday. Beis Avol, someone's mother passed away. She was a survivor. And she was telling me that how proud she was of her grandchildren who were soldiers, went to Hezder, and during Hezder they were in the army. And as a matter of fact, one of the grandsons wore his uniform to the funeral because he thought that would be a great covet for his grandmother, who was so proud. And I said that those who survived the Shoah, or those who escaped Europe just in time, always had a very special appreciation for Medinas Yisrael, and seeing Jews in uniform who were there and were able to defend Klal Yisrael. And I threw out a name, Rav Aaron Cutler. When he first came, he came to Eretz Yisrael a number of times. He was the Malam Makam of his father, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, Rosh Hashiva Yeshiva Yitz Chaim, who come to visit. And there were two things that impressed him. Number one, obviously seeing the land of Israel being built up. And yes, when he saw an Israeli soldier, he was very proud, because he saw that now the Jews can defend themselves. And this is something that not only Jews who survived the Shoah, who escaped from Europe, have to give Hakaras HaTov. I think every Jew has to give Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu of Medinas Yisrael. And every day. That's why it's important to have a day where you can actually go ahead and, you know, focus and think about how special it is that we have the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael. The tefillah, the tekes, for Yom HaTzma'ut, which in America, United States, until I made Aliyah, I didn't say. Actually, I should say, I did say it once. I thought it was kind of strange. And one of the reasons why I didn't say it was because, if you look, many of the students of my uncle point out that he felt that besides saying Hallel, the whole tefillah that you say on Yom HaTzmut night was a very strange and is not something that should be said. When I first started my shul, so I had a number of Bogrei Hesder in my shul, and they were obviously very passionate about Yom HaTzmut and the whole tefillah, and I was very hesitant. And they said to me, why don't you call your father, and whatever your father says, we will do. And I went through the whole tefillah Yom HaTzmut night. I went through everything that we do on Yom HaTzmut day. And my father said, everything is fine, everything. And I spoke about, let's say, for example, the Shabbos Pesukei Dezimra. I thought he would definitely say you shouldn't say it. And he said, why is it so bad? He says, do you think Chazal were Koveya to say the Shabbos Pesukei Dezimra on Hoshana Rabbah? That was something that was added, maybe in the time of the Gaonim. Said there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to take a day, which is a special day, to give Shevach Vodada Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to sum another length in the Pesukei Dezimra, said he felt it was fine. The Haftarah about a bracha was fine. The only directive he gave me, which he felt was halachic issue, was not to say a bracha in Hallel. That was, you can say a Hallel after Shemon Esrei, not to say a bracha. That was the only directive my father gave me. And as I started saying it through the years, I actually appreciate, especially Yom HaTzmut night, because it puts the day in proper perspective. It's not a day which is just to go to a Yom HaTzmut celebration. It's a day which you realize that it's set aside to give a Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on this I'd like to base my shir, say that we make it a special day. And is that really allowed? Can we make it into a special day? On one hand, there's a Shita of the Ramban I'm not going to focus on, that when you make a new holiday, it could be Baal Tosif. I think that Yom HaTzmut is not a problem, as long as we realize that it's not a din d'oraisa, it's not a din d'rabbanan. It's something that we ourselves went ahead and we made this day. We made it a special day. However, the problem that might arise is a different issue, and I'd like to spend the first part of this year speaking about that. The Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Resh Pei Vav, that's Hilchas Purim, quotes the Maran Malashker, that's source number one. Yecholim b'nei Yair l'takeim v'askama v'cherem aleihem v'alavoyim v'achreihem lasos purim b'yom shenasa bones. So b'nei Yair, if a miracle has happened, then we know that there were many cities in Europe where miracles happened, that the b'nei Yair, the residents of that city, were kovei achag on that day for generations, for years. So they're allowed to make a Purim, and it's not a problem. And he goes ahead and he quotes the Maran Malashka. And why is the Maran Malashka says? Because we do find in the Gemara a concept of an individual holiday. Rav Elazar bar Tzaddik and his family, on a certain day of the year, his family would bring eitz into the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore in the time of the Beis HaMikdash it was a chag for that family, and therefore for him it was also a chag. It says that if Tisha B'Av would fall out on a Shabbos, like it does, like it's supposed to this year, if Mashiach does not come before Tisha B'Av, and therefore it's a Nidcha, he would not be mashal in the fast. Why? Because for him that day, that was his Yom Tov, and therefore since his Yom Tov, he would not be mashal in the holiday. And therefore, we see that a person can create his own holiday, his own personalized holiday, and it's not a problem for the Nehi'ir to go ahead and do that. Okay, we'll come back and discuss about the whole nation having a holiday. But so, however, that is not accepted by all Shittos. The Pri Chadosh basically does not accept the Maram L'Ashkenaz Magen Avraham, and now we'll see why. Why is it? So the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah discusses the issue about what happens to the Arvat HaNesim, the four fast days, which were enacted to remember the Churban, when the Jewish people came back to rebuild the Bayish, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the time that Tkufat Bayit Sheni. That is what the Gemara discusses. Okay, so now, because of this, the Gemara goes on to a different topic, and the Gemara discusses in source number two, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chesam Beis, the whole concept of Megillas Tainus. What is Megillas Tainus? Megillas Tainus was a list of all the holidays that Jewish people kept during the time of Bayit Sheni, certain days when they didn't fast, certain days when it was usher to eulogize. And the question is, what happened to this Megillah, all these holidays, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Beis, says, source number two, it's Machlokes Tanoim, Rebbe Rechanino Amar, Bala Megillas Tainus. From the time of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Megillas Tainus does not exist. We do not keep most of the holidays listed in Megillas Tainus. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua Melevi Amar, no. Lo Bala Megillas Tainus, there are still holidays. So the Gemara goes on, then, and the Gemara says, why did Rebbe and Rabbi Chanina hold Butler Megillas Tainus? Because he said like this, he says, you know, that during the time of the Bayit Sheni, when things were going well, during the time of the Bayit Sheni, the four fast days were not only they weren't fast days, they were holidays. And what happened to these holidays at the time of the Churban? Holidays became Butler. So all the holidays that were connected to the Beis HaMikdash became Vatal. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, the four holidays, the four fast days were different because they were connected specifically to the Beis HaMikdash, but the rest of the holidays still remain because they were not connected, directly to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the Gemara asks the question that one time, Rav Kahana raises the question that they were gozer a tainus on Chanukah in Lud, and Rabbi Elazar was very upset. How could you be goes there a fast day on Chanukah? And he went and he was tovel. It was a fast day that you were usher to bathe, and he went and he actually bathed on this fast day. And Rabbi Yeshua went and he took a haircut. He says, and they said to them, he said to the people of Lod, they said to them, you people have to fast because you've tried to fast on Chanukah. So you have to do tshuva for fasting on Chanukah. So the question is, how can you go in and say, Butler Megillas Tainus, that the Megillas Tainus, the holidays, Megillas Tainus don't exist anymore. If we see Rav Elazar of Yeshua said, we still celebrate Chanukah. And it was usher to fast on Chanukah after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Yosef says, Chanukah is different. Why is Chanukah different? Because since Chanukah has a mitzvah, so connected to the mitzvah, since the mitzvah has to be kept, so the holiday is also kept. Now without the mitzvah, we have very difficult to keep the holiday. So Chanukah is different. So Abaye says, let's move out to the mitzvah. So Rav Yosef says, no, the reason why Chanukah is different is because Chanukah, the miracle was so well known, it would be impossible to mavato the holiday. All the holidays that were enacted for various miracles that happened during the time of the Bayit Sheni, okay, so we don't necessarily remember all the miracles that happened. And therefore it was easy to mavato the holiday. But how can mavato a holiday like Chanukah when every generation knew and remembered and heard about the miracle that happened in Chanukah time? So, therefore, however, the rest of the holidays were bottled. So then, Rav Acha Bar Huna asked another question. This is very important. What was Rav Acha Bar Huna's question? He says, "Betlasa b'tishrei, betelas atkarasa minshtara." On the third of Tishrei, they are mevatel, writing the name of God on the third of Tishrei in the star. That there was a gzeira of Malchus Yavan, the Greeks, who were trying to basically wipe out our connection to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, made a gzeira that we should not mention the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we should not talk about God. And when the Malchus Chashmonaim were victorious, So, but they were misakein that we should mention the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu even the shtaros. And it seemed like it was a nice idea. That's what the Malchus Chashmonaiah did. However, and what would they write? They would write Bishnas Kach Bekach LeYochanan Kohen Gadol LeKel Elyon. They would mention the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. U'kishishamu Chacham Medavro, and the Chacham heard this, Amru, they said it's a terrible thing. Why? Because if I write a shtar that let's say I want to borrow money from somebody, right? And I write the name of the I write the date and the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then I go ahead and I give him the shtar and he lends me the money, and then 3 weeks later I go ahead and pay the money back and he gives me the shtar in return. What will I do with the shtar afterwards? I'm going to throw it in the trash, and therefore the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu will be in the trash. And for that reason, they didn't like the takana. So they didn't bottle the takana. They used to write the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and when they bottled that takana, they made it into a yontif. So we see that we're assuming that this happened even after the Zman and the Beis HaMikdash. And we see they made holidays even after the Zman and the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, why is that difficult? Maybe Megillas Tainus was Batal, but they still added new holidays. And the Gemara says at the very end of source number 2, no, it can't be. If Mavatel Megillas Tainus, that means we can't add any more holidays. In other words, Mavatel Megillas Tainus, except for Chanukah and Purim, the only holidays we have are holidays that are Midyaraisa. And what we learn out from this Gemara is that if we hold there's no Megillas Tainus, that means we can't add any more holidays to the Jewish calendar. And if that's the case, the Brit Chodesh says very clearly, a person can't make up his own holiday, and therefore that would be a problem for those who celebrate Yom HaTzmut. And the truth is, that would be a problem for many other days in the calendar also. Because, for example, Tu B'Av, and it's discussed, is a holiday, we keep it, it's a Megillas Tainus. I didn't do that much research on it, but I'm not exactly sure when the Lag B'Omer became such a big holiday. Pesach Sheni, maybe that's already mentioned in the Torah, I don't know. But that's what the Brit Chodesh says, we're not allowed to go ahead and to make and create new holidays based on this Gemara once there was Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and how do we paskin? So if you look at source number 4, Hilchos Sodom, Shulchan Aruch paskins, Batla Megillas Tainus, Megillas Tainus is batal, V'chol Hayom Maksuvim Ba, and all the days that are mentioned Megillas Tainus, Mutter L'Hasanus Behem, you're allowed to fast, V'chol Shekein, Lifneim V'achreim, and you can certainly fast the day before the holiday, the day after the holiday, except for Chanukah B'Purim, except for Chanukah and Purim. Why Chanukah and Purim are different? I think it's very clear. That Chanukah and Purim, if it wasn't Chanukah and Purim, it wasn't a question of the Beis HaMikdash, Judaism would have ceased to exist, right? Antiochus HaRosh was not interested in stopping the vote in the Beis HaMikdash. He was interested that all Jews should assimilate. Haman HaRosh was interested in wiping out every Jew off the face of the earth. That's what Haman HaRosh was interested in. However, all the other holidays are batal, and therefore, since all the other holidays are batal, we have to go ahead and we have to, all the holidays are batal, so we can't add any new holidays. Once Megillas Tainus is batal, the Gemara says, how can we go ahead and add on other holidays? And this is the Shita of the Brit Chodesh, and this Brit Chodesh is mentioned by those who are opposed to the whole concept of Yom HaTzmut. There are those who say, of course we should give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Medinas Yisrael. Of course! Not exactly sure how they do it, but of course they should do it, right? But he says, but you shouldn't have Yom HaTzmut because of the he says that's because of the Brit Chodesh. And as a matter of fact, the Brit Chodesh mentioned this because there are those people who felt that when you have a holiday in the family, you have to keep the holiday, and you can't even do a Mataras Adar. And he said, no, of course you can. You don't have to keep the holiday. And he says at the very end of source number 5, if Mosif is Yom Tov. And this goes against the Maral Ashker, who said that they made a takana to make Purim, a certain type of Purim, on 11th of Chodesh Teves every single year. And that is the Shita of the Pri Chodesh. However, the Chassam Sofer, in source number 6, that's Tshuva Simmons Kuf Tzadik Aleph, and a few other places, the Chassam Sofer does not accept the Pri Chodesh. Why not? So the Chassam Sofer brings certain rayos from various Gemaras. For example, he says, if you go ahead and you look, there's a Gemara Maseches Erechin Daf Yudam Abayz, that's source number 7. There's a Gemara Maseches Megillah, the same Gemara, I think it's Daf Dalid, where the Gemara discusses about why we don't say Hallel on Purim. Okay, so there are a few answers that are given. One answer is, well, we can't say Hallel on Purim because in Purim we were still Avdei Achashverosh, and it says in the Hallel Avdei Hashem. That's one answer. A second answer is that we can't say Hallel on Purim because the Nes of Purim happened in Chutz Laretz, and we know that we only say Hallel, and this didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael. How about Pesach? That's before Eretz Yisrael became, before we entered Eretz Yisrael. And the third answer is we do say Hallel. What's the Hallel that we say on Purim? Megillas Esther. Gemara asks the question. So according to that Shita that holds that Megillas Esther is the Hallel, how could we say Hallel after all the Nes of Purim have in the Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara, he says, if you look at source number 7, Gemara Maseches Erechvin, the same Gemara, part of the Gemara is Maseches Megillah, the second line, Ul Rav Nachman de Omar Kriyasa Zu Hallelia, that saying the Hallel is saying the Kriyas Megillah, Re Megillah is really the Hallel. Hatanya, she says, so how we go? He says, how could you say Hallel on a nation in Persia? We learned it in the Braisa, Nichshasu La'aretz, and came to Eretz Yisrael, Huchshu Kol Aretz L'Amar Shira. It says, all the lands were not Huchshar to say Shira. So you couldn't say Shira, and anything happened anywhere else. So Gemara says, Kaven Shigolu Chazur L'Teru Nerishon. So according to Rav Nachman, once they went ahead and they went into Golas, so then they went back to the original state. What was that original state? Where every land you could say a nace on every miracle that happened in any land. Therefore, the Chassam Sofer says that stop your dollar, Megillah. I saw in the Chassam Sofer. If you look at source number 6, Ulefi ani yizdaiti the less lachol devarav. He does not accept any of the words of the pre-chadash. Why? Because he says once the base mix was destroyed, huchshru kol haratzos lo marshira. Alright, now, maybe you want to tell me, well, Rava held low butler Megillas Tainus? So he says, no, it's very difficult to say low butler Megillas Tainus, because we hold butler Megillas Tainus, and we see that the fact is that in that Gemara, they had this idea that you can go ahead and you're able to create new Hallel, to say Hallel, to go ahead and to say Shir. And to say, that's basically, he says that's basically what he says. However, we have a problem. Why? Because the Gemara seemed to imply that once Megillas Tainus is bottled, you can't add any more holidays. So the Chassam Sofer says we don't paskin like that, because if you look at source number 3, the end of that sugya Megillas Tainus, we see another svara. What does it say? Gemara says Talmud Bava Sechshal Shoshana Daf Yud Tesim Adays Tanoihi. This whole question about whether Megillas Tainus is batal or Megillas Tainus is lo batal is really a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Hayom Eilak Suvim Megillas Tainus. These days, written Megillas Tainus, Bein Bizman Shabes HaMegdash Kayam, Bein Bizman Shabes HaMegdash Kayam, HaMegdash Kayam Asurim. So these days, written Megillas Tainus, whether the temple stands, the temple doesn't stand, it's Asur, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Bizman Shabes HaMegdash Kayim Asurim, when the Beis HaMegdash is standing, these days are Asur. Megnesha Simcha, he says, why? Because he says, the Tanakhama says, that we have to keep the holidays and it's Asur to fast on any of the days, the Megillas Tainus, whether the Beis HaMegdash is Kayim or not Kayim. Rabbi Yossi says, no. If the Beis HaMegdash is still standing, then it's Asur to fast, because it's a Yom Simcha, and basically it's not standing, it's Mutter. B'nei she'evel hulahem, because it's an evel, it's mourning. And the Chassam Sofer explains, what is the Gemara saying? He says, the Gemara says that when do you go ahead and do not, why were Mevatel Megillas Tainus? Mevatel Megillas Tainus, because that was a holiday that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash. And any holidays to do with the Beis HaMikdash, we can't have when there is no Beis HaMikdash. And that's what it says. So therefore, those holidays that after the time of the Churban, we don't keep, according to the second Shita. Why? Because it's evil. These holidays now are sad for us. So the Chassam Sofer points out, what's the Gemara saying? Any days that are connected to the Beis HaMikdash, those are the days that we don't commemorate. Those are the days we don't celebrate. But if we have a holiday which is based on something different, totally not connected to the Beis HaMikdash, there you can commemorate, there you can celebrate. And because of that reason, the Chassam Sofer himself, he went ahead and he celebrated, he had his own holiday because he felt where he was saved, that wasn't connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Chassam Sofer points out that we don't accept the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh Svara is based on a Svara of the Gemara which you don't accept. But how do we determine what is considered like Megillas Tainis and therefore we can't accept a holiday like that? And what is not? If it's something which is a reminder to the Beis HaMikdash, something which is connected to the Beis HaMikdash, that became Batel, and such a holiday you can't go ahead and add. However, a holiday which is not connected to the Beis HaMikdash, for Yeshua that's not connected to the Beis HaMikdash, such a holiday you can add. Okay, that's what the Chassam Sofer says. However, we still have another problem. What's the problem? The Chassam Sofer adds in, at the very end, in source number 8, in Simon Kuf Tzadik Aleph, the Chassam Sofer adds in that when can you go ahead and make a holiday? That's a holiday which he says, he adds in, he says, that it could be, even if you want to suggest you can't make a new holiday, that's a holiday which is accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Source number 8, Miu Nirali, Bilavi Hachi Nira, Delo Amr, Pri Chodeshe, Shalola Hosif, Eladumia Dahamich Shepashtu B'chol Yisrael, only similar to those holidays that were accepted by all the Jews. But a holiday that one family wants to keep, a holiday that one city wants to keep, that one region wants to keep, that's not a problem even according to the Pri Chodesh. That is what the Chassam Sofer says. And that's a little problematic. Why is that problematic? Because we, today, we would like, and we would think, at least I would think, that Yom HaTzmut should be celebrated by everybody. It should be celebrated by everybody. So, and I think anyone who argues, and if you look at all the tshuvas of those who argued on behalf of celebrating Yom HaTzmut, I think every one of those people feel that Yom HaTzmut should be celebrated by everybody. And no one really deals with this Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says a holiday that will be accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, that is problematic. And the Chaya Adam, in source number 9, at the very end of Hilcha Shabbos and Moadim, Klal Kufnan Hey, he echoes the same idea. He says that he doesn't accept the Pri Chodosh because the Rav Yavetz did not fast on Tisha B'Av that was pushed off because it was his Yontif, and he says, why is that? We hold Balam Megillas Tainis because we hold a person can make his own personal holiday. He says, so how about the Gemara, which points out that you can't add holidays after Bala Megillas Tainis? So Chai Adam points out that's only a holiday that was basically done for all of Klal Yisrael. But if a small segment of the population want to make a holiday, then you're not allowed to go ahead and to make. You're allowed to go ahead and make a holiday, but for all of Klal Yisrael, that we have to wait for the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Chai Adam says. Now, so the question is, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? And the tshuvas, they don't speak about how we deal with the fact that we want Yom HaTzmut, or I shouldn't say we, people who celebrate Yom HaTzmut feel it should be accepted of everybody. So I was thinking of a certain idea, and actually I saw after that came up with this idea. I saw actually someone, I didn't have a chance to look in Rav Schachter's Sefer from YU, but someone quoted him also. I have a little different approach for it, but it depends what kind of holiday we're talking about. In other words, if we're talking about a holiday where someone was saved, let's say for example, let's use an example from Chutz Laretz, okay? A whole city of Jews was saved, and therefore you want to create this holiday, and you want the whole world to accept this as a holiday. That's problematic. However, if we're speaking about a holiday, which is a holiday because we see it as a step towards the Beis HaMikdash, that's something which all of Klal Yisrael can celebrate. And where does this idea come from? That all of a sudden something, as you see that you're to step towards the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, all of Klal Yisrael, it's different than a regular type of nes? I think it's very simple. There is a nitziv that my father was very fond of. I heard it a few times from him. The Torah in Parshas B'Chukosai, that's source number 10, Vayikra Chava, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, speaks about what's going to happen during the time of the Churban. The Torah tells us, V'nasati es areichem chorva, V'ashimosi es mikdasheichem, V'lo ariach v'reach nichachochechem. He says, I'm going to make your cities desolate. I'm going to make your temple. I'm going to destroy actually your cities. I'm going to make your temple desolate. And I won't be able to get pleasure from your reach nichoach. And the Emet Dover asked, what does that mean? After all, we know the whole point of a korban is for the reach nichoach. And from this pasuk, the Emek Dover, Netziv, in source number 11, on the pasuk, V'yikra Chava, pasuk Laman Aleph, points out, we means when there's no Beis HaMikdash, even if you know when there's a Mizbeach, you can't be Machav Korbanos. He says, the Emek Dover points out, the Afo Gav, the Mikdash Shomen, even though the temple is destroyed, Mikomakom, however, Efshar, it's possible, the Yishorah HaMizbeach, the Mikomu Akrivalov, it could be the Mizbeach will still be there. He says, and that's what happened. When Titus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach was still there. The Bizman Churban Abayis and Churban Beitar, because from the time of Churban Bayis to Churban Beitar, Sh'az Nechra Shehechel Nerach and Mizbeach. Because after Churban Beitar, the Hechel was plowed over and the Mizbeach was destroyed. And at that time, that's why one of the tragedies in Tisha B'Av was that the Hechel, the Makom Hechel was Nerach, was destroyed, was plowed over. He says, "Hoya Odom Mizbeach Kayim." He says, "The Mizbeach was still existed, was still there." The Krivul of Sachin. And they were makriv, korban pesach. How do we know? Because the Gemara Sanhedrin says that sometimes there would be ma'abr the shana in order to enable the people after the korban to makriv the korban pesach. Mikol makom lo ariach. So he says, so the question is, how can we makriv korbanos? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after the korban, I'm not going to accept your reach nichoach of your korbanos, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't be makriv your korbanos to me. And it Siv points out, because the only korban they were makriv after korban Beis Hamikdash, not sure if you can prove this historically, but the only korban they were makriv after the korban Beis Hamikdash was the korban Pesach. That's what he says. And the korban Pesach is the one korban where reach nichoach is not mentioned. In other words, you can be makriv a korban Pesach even bizman korban. He says the lo ksiv be reach nichoach, ma she'ein ken kol hakorbanak ksiv reach nichoach, and therefore they couldn't be machriv, and therefore he says mishum hachi lo akriv b'chorim beis hamikdash mishum dechsiv the lo ariach bereach, and the tziv has the yisod, which is not accepted by everybody, that after the time of the Churban, there were only machriv korban pesach, no other korbanos, because of the fact that the korban pesach was the only korban which was the reach nichoach is not mentioned, and in order to machmir korbanos, but other korbanos they have to be reach nichoach, and you can't have that bisman korban. Okay, that's nitziv. Why is nitziv problematic? Because the Gemara Maseches Zevachim, Daf Kuf Zayin on the base, points out, Amar Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua says, Shamati shehoyu makrivim achavish ein bayis. Rav Yeshua says, I heard it can machar v'kravanos, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. V'ochlem kachim kachim avish en kloyim, and you're allowed to eat the kachim kachim. You're allowed to eat the kachim kravanos, which can only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash itself, but in that area you can eat it. You can eat it even if there are no curtains separating it. Kachim kalim u'maister sheni, and kachim kalim u'maister sheni, which can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. You can even eat if there's no wall on Yerushalayim. Why? Because even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's still a Kedusha. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash still exists. And therefore, since the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash still exists, you're allowed to go ahead. The Kedusha, Kedusha, Rosh Kedusha, Shai, the Kedusha, Lavo, you can still makriv korbanos. And the Rambam hashes Allah up. Lefichach, makrivim a korbanos kulon. Afo pisha ein shambai is banui. You're allowed to be makriv korbanos, even though there was no Beis HaMikdash that's built. And the Rambam says you can go ahead and eat kachi kachim in the whole Azara, even though it's destroyed. The Einam Ukevet Mechitza, V'ochlin kachim kama shenev v'chol Yerushalayim. You know there's no chomos. Why? Because the Kedusha Rishona is a Kedusha that lasts. Kedusha Yerushalayim, Kedusha Mikdash lasts, the Rambam says. So the question is, we see the Rambam holds you can be makriv korbanos. Even though Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, how does the Ksiv explain this Rambam? We know when they came back to build the first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, they were machav kavanas before they finished building, even before they started. You look in at the Sifrei Tanakh that speak about what happened that time. They were machav kavanas right away. So what's the idea? The Ksiv would explain there's a difference. In other words, when Titus Harasha destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, or Nebuzaradan destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, and a Jew came the next day, he wanted a Machav Korbanos, that wouldn't be accepted. Because that was a time of Korban. A time of Korban where you didn't see the steps towards the Geula, towards the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. That, then you're in a state where God is not the Mekavel, the Reach Nichalach. However, if we go ahead and we're already getting ready to build the Beis Hamikdash, we haven't even started, but we're getting ready, we're making the plans. At that point, we're not in the process of Churban, we're in the process of working towards the Binyan. Then we're in a state where God is Mekavel Reach Nechoach, and then you can Machrib all Korbanos. Therefore, when the Tziv is talking about the state of Churban, we're not thinking in the middle of Churban Beitar, we're not thinking about being Machrib Korbanos at that time. We're not thinking about the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. However, the Rambam, according to the Tziv, is speaking about a time when we already see the steps towards the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, as when they came back to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. Now, I'm not promoting anything right now in regard to the Beis Hamikdash right now, but we see from this Netziv that there's definitely a difference of something when you're just in a state of Churban, or when you're in a state where you see something happen that is a step towards the Geula. And the Medina Yisrael, there's no question about it. I'm not going to deal with the question about Reishis Michas Gulasenu. I'm going to say it's definitely a very big jump towards the Geula. How do I know that? I think it's very clear. So you can go ahead and there are a few things. Number one, if you want, I might have mentioned this last year, there's a Radak in Tilim, Parakuf Memvav. I think the Radak lived around 800 years ago. A very important Radak. That the Radak says, and on the Pasuk, which we say every day, Al Tiftechu B'Nedivim, B'Venelam Shal Yeshua, that's source number 17, you should go ahead and you should not rely on nobles, on people who have no real salvation. So the Radak says, what is David HaMelech speaking about here? When he speaks about this, the Radak says, B'Ven Adam Shein Lo Tshuva. Alright, so it says, She'im Lo Baratzon Kel Yizbarach, Ein V'Yad HaAdam Lo Shiach Ve'er Mitzaroso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want, nobody can help anybody. Ki Lashem Levado HaTshua, all salvation, it stems from who? Does it stem from? It stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who used to have a vena al yidei bnei Adam, and he could cause it to happen through people. And he says, Kemosh Tzibei Tshuas Golas Bavel De Koresh, when the Jewish people left Bavel to go back to build the Beis HaMikdash, the small amount that did, in the days of Koresh, and through Koresh, who was it? Everyone thinks, oh, it was Koresh. It wasn't Koresh. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just Koresh was the agent that allowed it to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the agent of Koresh. He says, and then Radak says like this, the Hechein Lo Asid. It's amazing that he could see this. In the future, Yisabev Gulas Yisrael Yedei Malchi Agoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to arrange the redemption of the Jewish people through the non-Jewish kings, Sheyores Rucham L'Shalcham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will awaken the spirit of these kings, these rulers, to send them into Eretz Yisrael. And that obviously is the United Nations. When they voted to partition Palestine, even though maybe partition wasn't so good for us, but the fact is that they allowed us to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is something that the Radak saw. Okay, so we see, is it a step towards the Gula? Is it a step towards the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? It's definitely a step towards the Gula, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There's no question about it, because look what Radak says. Radak says it. Okay, let's say, you don't want to quote the Radak. Maybe someone says, maybe someone else put it in. You know, the Radak is only wrote a Sefer on Tanakh, and I'm not even sure. He didn't write a Sefer on Gemara. So how can you rely on the Radak? So let's go look. So if you look at the Sifri, Parshas Devarim Pesach Ches, that's source number 16. On the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, Re'ein Asati Levnechem, I place before you, as the Aretz, the land, Bo Roshu as the Aretz, Asher Yishpa Hashem L'Vaseichem, La'Avaz L'Yakov, Go and inherit the land that I have promised to your forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Lasseis Lahem, Ulzara Machareihem. The Sifri says that what do all the things refer to? So, Lasseis Lahem, Elubaya Aretz. These are the people who came to Eretz Israel. Ulazaram, Elubneim Achareihem. These are the sons after them who also conquered part of Eretz Israel. Elu shekashu David Yeravam v'cheno Omer who heishiv es gvul Yisrael milibo Hamas. So it's referring on one level to the Jewish people who came to Eretz Israel and those after them in the time of Yeshua and obviously the time of David HaMelech and Yeravam ben Nevat. Rebbe says, but this pasuk Rebbe says applies even in his time and our time. What does Laseis Lahem mean? Elu, according to the Girsa, this Girsa is the free, which I think is the Girsa of most Svarim, Elu Ole Bavel. These are the Ole Bavel. Ulazaram, Elu B'neihem. These are what? The sons of the Ole Bavel. Achareihem, Elu Yemos HaMashiach. This is the Mos HaMashiach. My father asked a question, I heard him say, okay, we know Ole Bavel are, we know who Yemos HaMashiach are, but who are V'neihem Achareihem? Where do we see? My father said, obviously, from a historical perspective, V'neihem Achareihem are the Jews who came and reconquered Eretz Israel in the time, you know, of the Aliyot, in the time, in 1948. And there's a whole discussion, which I'm not going to get into right now, whether the conquest of Tzahal injected Kedushas Haaretz in those parts that were conquered, that weren't conquered before. And according to Tosfos, it is. Okay, so we see in the Sifri, we're talking about a time between the Olei Bavel and between Mos HaMashiach, when Eretz will be conquered again. I hope that we're referring to our time. Okay, that's the Sifri. Maybe you don't want to accept a Rafi, how do we know? But if you look at the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, source number 19, I think that very, very popular Gemara. Everyone quotes this Gemara. Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Abba, ein l'cha ketz megula mizeh." There is no ketz that is more revealed than this ketz. What's this ketz that we're going to have? Shenemar v'atem hare Yisrael avachem diteinu perechem tisu l'ami Yisrael. The mountains of Israel. Let the trees flourish. Let them bear fruits. Right? And we know that until the Aliyah of the Jewish people, and that's when the Bracha, that for hundreds of years, over 1,000 years, the land of Israel was barren. They tried to work on it, nothing happened. And all of a sudden, a little more than 100 years ago, things start to flourish. I remember my mother. My mother was a very big Zionist. She, and her dream was to live in Eretz Israel, and because of that, she has children and grandchildren living here. And she told me that she came in Aliyah with her family when Israel was still called Palestine, and her father had to go to America because she couldn't make a living here. But her heart was always in Israel. She always told me, I don't look up what it was. I think it was Petach Tikva. I think. That they brought in experts. How many years ago? See if we can build the Petach Tikva. I think the Tikva. And they came, they said, you can't build anything here because it was a big swamp and there were no birds flying over the swamp. Because it was just death. It was death there. And look what happened. That's what the Gemara is saying. Elcha Ketz Megula Mizu. So obviously we know that we're headed towards the Gula, towards the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we're very far away still, but we're there. We're there. And Gemara Medrash and Shir Hashirim says like this, source number 20, Parsha Vav, Mizos HaNishkafa Kamo Shachar. He says, so what happened? So who is there who looks out like the morning? So Rabbi Yechia, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Lachafta, were going in the road. And they're going by the Arbel at the dawn. And they saw the sun, the light of the sun starting to come out. They saw a royal El Tzeshachar, the morning star, and its light was starting to break forth. And Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon Bar Chalafta, this will be the Geula of Yisrael. It will start first with a small light, and then a bigger light, and then a bigger light, a little by little, until one point, it's just going to burst forth. And obviously someone can read history and see we're on the road, we're there, there's no question about it. No, you know, we're talking about how far have we gone, this country that was founded in 1948, how much has it developed, and how many Baruch Hashem Jews can come back. And they, and we, a person wants to see, they can see that that the Gula is happening, and we're on the way towards rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. We're on the way. And that's why Yom HaTzimut, even though it's a holiday we would like to be accepted by everybody, it's a holiday we would like that should be recognized, it's still okay. Because it's a holiday that's not connected to some salvation. That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It is the two. Because we see it as a step towards Geula. And when we speak about any holiday you can't add for all of Klal Yisrael, that's speaking about a holiday that is a holiday that has nothing to do with the eventual Geula. But Yom HaTzimut, HaKamas Bin Yisrael, definitely has that aspect. And I think it's very important. Why is it important? I think that every Jew has an obligation to believe and to see and to read world events as a step towards Mashiach. Every single Jew. You know, there's a Gemara, a very famous Gemara in Maseches Makos, Daf Chav Dal Amud Beis. Gemara says that many Tanoim were one day, source number 14, and the Maseches Makos, many Tanoim, and everyone knows this Gemara, but I think there's a certain insight that people don't think about. So one day, certain Tanoim together with Rabbi Akiva, were going towards Yerushalayim. And when they got to Harat Sofim, and they saw the Harabayas, he says, they got to Harat Sofim, they tore their clothes, and then they came to the Harabayas, and they saw a shul, a fox, running out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies. They started to cry. And Rabbi Akiva saw this, and he started to laugh. So they said to him, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And he said, well, why are you guys crying? So Amrulo, they said to him, what do you mean, why are we crying? We're just passing by this place, the holiest place on earth, a place where it's written that Hazar HaKarev should go into, will die. And now we see foxes going through that we shouldn't cry. And Rabbi Kiva said, that's why I'm laughing. Why? So he says, you know, there's a pasuk about Uriah, that the pasuk speaks on a brick, Edom Nemodim, Uriah Hachikoen and Zechariah ben Yivarchayu. And the question is, why do we tie together these two people? Uriah lived during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, Zechariah lived during the second Beis HaMikdash. V'chima Inyan, what is the connection between Uriah and Zechariah? What's the connection? Uriah Mikdash Risha, Zechariah Mikdash Sheni. But the Torah is telling us the pasuk is telling us nevuah of Zechariah depends on the nevuah of Uriah. What did Uriah say? Because of you, Sion Sadat Yechareish. Because of you, Tzion, the Harabayas we plowed over. But Zechariah it's written, oh, Joshua Zekanim, Zekanim, Zarachov, Yerushalayim. That in Mirz Hashem, older people will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim with Arichas Yomim. And he says that until the days of Uriah, until the Nevuah of Uriah was fulfilled, I wasn't clear exactly when the Nevuah of Zechariah will be fulfilled. But now that I saw the Uriah of Zechariah was fulfilled, I know the Nevuah of Zechariah will be fulfilled, and therefore I laughed. I'm happy. In other words, when I saw, what do you mean, Rabbi Kiva wasn't a Mammon in the Dibrei Nevi'im, in the words of Zechariah? But he says, Rabbi Kiva said, even though as a mammon, it was so hard to believe, it was so hard to see, it was so hard to feel Mashiach coming. But when I saw the fox coming out of Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I understood this connection between the Nevuah of Uriah and Zechariah, I was able to feel the Mashiach. I was able to really feel the Mashiach is on the way. Rabbi Kiva was many hundreds of years away. But we see from Rabbi Kiva that we have an obligation to feel all the time that Mashiach is on the way, to see it coming, to really expect it from coming. And the Imam of Hashem must be as a Mashiach. And as a matter of fact, we know that in Haggadah, we mention that Tanoim went to Rabbi Kiva for the Seder in Bnei Brak. What were they going to Rabbi Akiva for? Rabbi Akiva was actually their Talmud. It's mentioned, I think Rav Kook mentions it, that they went because they were very depressed. Why? Because it's after Korban Bayis, Noble Korban Pesach, they wanted to go to Rabbi Akiva to lift them up, make them feel better. But they went to Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva was able to make them feel like Mashiach is on the way. And we have an obligation to feel, to believe, to really believe and really feel the Mashiach is on the way. Not just to say. You know, I just read, I heard a story before that my father, many, many years ago, visited one of my brothers in Gan Yisrael, Lubavitcher camp, 1960. And that was one of the years the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron Levracha went to Gan Yisrael to speak. He went a few times. And my father asked my brother, so what did the Rebbe say? So the Rebbe says, you got to believe in Mashiach. The way the story goes, and I'll paraphrase it in a minute, my father said to my brother, but everyone's supposed to believe, everyone says they believe in Mashiach. So the story goes that my brother responded. Brother's not sure he responded, but someone else maybe responded. He said, well, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he says it, he really means it. He really means it. And as a matter of fact, my brother told me that, you know, the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe before this Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he also spoke a lot about Mashiach. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, his son-in-law said to him, you know, if you keep speaking about Mashiach, people are going to think that you think that you're the Mashiach. And he said, so the Friedrich Rebbe said to him, it could be, but as long as people are consciously aware that Mashiach is going to come, then it's worth it. It's worth it. And therefore, we have to be consciously aware that Mashiach is going to come. And you want to know something? Jews always had emunah. But it was very difficult to have emunah at certain times. But now it's become so easy because we see the geula developing. You know, whenever I travel from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, and you see the construction on the highway, on the 38 in the highway. So we always say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing Eretz Yisrael for the Mashiach. Why did they build the light rail? The train system is being improved. It's all being prepared for Mashiach. And there's no question that it has never been easier to see or feel or hear the fact that Mashiach is coming. And that's why it's important to have one day a year where we spend that day and we set it aside as somewhat of a happy day where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, we must follow for Mashiach. Because it's a hot day where it's not just a day connected to some random salvation, a day that we see through salvation that Mashiach is on the way, you can hear his footsteps. And we have to spend the day thinking and being consciously aware of the fact that Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is here. As I said, I think to someone who wants to see, it's definitely readily apparent that he's on the way. And as I said, I think that the whole tekis that we do, it's very nice, the barbecues, the tefillin, it's all nice to get appreciation. But the tefillah at the very beginning really puts you in the right frame of mind to understand that the point of the day is to give a karas tov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not just give a karas tov, but to actually give a karas tov to realize that we already hear, or unless we hear, we already see the footsteps of Mashiach, because this is definitely a very big jump towards the Geula. We should be zochated very soon. Everyone should have a very meaningful Yom HaShoah and Milu Yom HaZikaron, and we should all be zochet to learn the messages of Medinas Yisrael and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in history as it develops.
What do you think of Yom HaZikaron the day before? Is that also?
I mean, I think it's very appropriate. I think you know, it's give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a tov, and it shows we know why we have it. You know, I think that my uncle once said that that he felt you have to be very careful with the Degel Yisraeli. Why? Because the Israeli flag, Jewish flag. Why? Because that flag, Jewish blood was spilled from that flag, and I think it shows how much we appreciate, you know, what and appreciate Jewish life and the sacrifice that were involved. I always say, and obviously, I always say that, you know, Memorial Day in America. Right? What do people do? You know, they go for barbecues. Here we spend time to say it happened because of them, and their legacy goes on. I think it's very appropriate, and it shows that the sacrifices they gave were not for were actually for something. In Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochet to the complete Yeshua.